This is the Funville 9, driven by AAA, the official podcast of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Here's your host, Trey Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Funville 9 podcast. Today we have another edition of our debut stories, this time with Tyler Fitzgerald. Fitz first came to Richmond in 2022, and he was part of that Flying Squirrels team that reached the postseason for the first time in 8 years. In fact, he was a pretty big part of it. He was named the team's MVP following the season. But by his own admission, it was an up-and-down year. He finished it as the first player in franchise history to put up at least 20 homers and 20 stolen bases in a single season. And he put his name in the Richmond record books in several other spots. And then he was sent back to Richmond to begin the 2023 season, and he started that year on fire. He was named the Eastern League Player of the Month for April, hit .324, posted an OPS up near 1,000. That all got him bumped up to AAA Sacramento at the beginning of May. Fitzgerald had a good year with the Rivercats last year. As the season was winding down, he got called up to the majors for the first time and made his debut on September 21st for the Giants at Dodger Stadium. He spent a couple weeks in the big leagues to close out the regular season, and he did pretty well, and now he's working on trying to secure a spot on the Giants roster to begin the 2024 season. I got a chance to chat with Fitzgerald during Giants spring training in Scottsdale, and we discussed his time with the Flying Squirrels, his debut with the Giants last year, and more. Here's my conversation with 2022 Flying Squirrels MVP Tyler Fitzgerald. Fitz, it's been great to see you a couple times over the last couple of days. How's your spring going? How's everything going for you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Trey. It's been good. Spring's going good, healthy. Body's starting to feel good, getting in shape, playing every single day, and the at-bats are getting better, so that's all you can really ask for at this point.
I was just looking back at your time in Richmond, a couple of years that you spent there, and one of the things that I thought about that really has kind of helped carve the roadmap to today was you starting to play the outfield some. Like, I think Richmond was the first place that you had played the outfield in pro ball, right?
Actually midway through last year was the first time.
Really? You didn't get out there in Richmond?
I was all around the infield, but never in the outfield. So that was kind of a crazy experience last year. We're actually in Texas on a two-week road trip, and Brenny came up and said, hey, you're going to be playing a little outfield here and there. So I immediately ordered a glove, and it was so hot that we weren't taking, like, on-field BP. So, like, my first game out there was literally just my first ever rep of catching a fly ball out there, basically.
Well, maybe it's just that you were so athletic. It seemed like you should have been anywhere on the field when you were in Richmond. I could have sworn that you had some time out there. Well, good thing we can cover this up in post. No. Being able to diversify your defensive skill sets, how important do you think that's been to allowing you to have more opportunities than you might that if you were just playing, say, shortstop and second?
Oh, the world of a difference. You know, that's one of the reasons that I have a chance to make the roster at some point this year is because I can play middle infield and outfield and come off the bench and steal a bag. So, you know, without the outfield part of my tool bag, I don't really know if I'd be in this position right now. So it's definitely a huge benefit for me.
You know, last year, you started the year in Richmond, and you just absolutely destroyed for a month, right? And then you get the call up to SAC. Were you a little surprised to start the year in Richmond? Were you wanting to prove a point and go out there, or were you just kind of going business as usual and things were really clicking?
Well, I was definitely trying to prove a point. But no, I wasn't surprised at all. You know, the year prior, I had 2020. You know, if you look at certain stats, it was a good year, but at certain stats, it was just a terrible year. You know, strikeouts to walks, just quality at bats, it just wasn't a great year. It was a decent second half, but it wasn't a great year. So I kind of figured I was going to go back there. But once I finally heard I was, it kind of took it personal and went out with something to prove. And I think that just kind of put me on the right start for the year, and I carried that momentum into SAC.
Yeah, it was a great first month, and we were happy to see you make it a short stay. We were very happy to see you back because we like having you around, but we were also happy that it was a short stay. So you get up to SAC, you have a pretty good year. It's getting late in the season. Did you have it on your radar anyway that you might be on the Giants' radar to get a call up there in September?
Man, I thought it was coming eventually. But, you know, we were in our last week road trip in Salt Lake, and I still hadn't got it. So, yeah. At that point, I kind of lost all hope. But there were a lot of times, you know, I'd go 4 for 5 or 3 for 5, and I'd be like, man, I might get a call tonight, you know, just waiting, hoping, just praying. So really, when I did get the call, I wasn't expecting it at all. It was just so late in the season that I just thought those hopes were gone.
Yeah, very late. Like you said, the very end of the AAA season, but you kind of forced your hand a little bit. Like, you just played so well, they couldn't keep saying wait, you know?
Exactly. And then that was my whole goal, you know, with them having to protect me and everything. I knew that was a huge year for me, so it's kind of a make or break year in my career.
Well, how did you get the word officially that you were getting the call?
I got pulled out of the game in the 4th inning. I was out there playing with my head on fire, just trying to end the season strong and get to just as many stolen bases as possible. I had three stolen bases in the first 3 innings, and I was just like trying to set a record. Like, I was like really out there just playing as hard as possible. And then Brunny pulls me out. He's like, you know what? We just took you out. I'm like, no. Like, let me go back in. And he's like, just for precautionary reasons, they want you to play in the big leagues tomorrow. And I was like, no way. But just the way he told me, I just wasn't expecting it. And I kind of had an idea once I got pulled out of the game, but you just never really know. You don't want to jump ahead to conclusions. So
yeah. Where were you guys at? Were you in Sacramento when you got called up, or were you all on the road?
Salt Lake.
You were in Salt Lake. Okay, so you had to bust over to L.A., right?
Yeah. So we had my car. We had everything we owned, Sadie and I, in Salt Lake. So we packed everything up in our car. And then immediately got to the airport. Like, we had an hour to get everything out of our hotel room and get to the airport, and then I was in LA that same night.
Did you able to get the family over pretty quickly? I know that they do a pretty good job, but the Giants do a pretty good job of kind of handling that for y'all.
Yeah, I tried. I called him like 10 times to wake him up, and finally got a hold of him. It was like 11 p.m. there at that point, and they got on a flight like the next morning at like 6 and ended up making it over, so it was pretty cool.
Did you get a chance to sleep at all?
I actually slept pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just played a game that day and then got on a flight, so I was exhausted, but I don't think my family slept at all.
Well, it was kind of a big series. It was late in the year, but the Giants were trying to keep their postseason hopes alive, and it's obviously a rivalry, right? And going into Dodger Stadium. What was the feeling as, you know, you're walking in first time as a big leaguer into this environment?
It was pretty crazy. But, you know, I said quite a few prayers and just prayed to just calm me down and help me feel relaxed. And I always tell people that I was more nervous for my first AAA at bat than my first big league at bat. I don't know why. I just, when I got out there, I just felt like it was right. And I just felt like I was meant to be here. And it's a really cool experience. But like taking center field and at Dodger Stadium and hearing the speakers and stuff, it was just like a feeling that I can't really describe. It was like everything was vibrating around me. And biggest stadium that I've ever played in, so it was just a really cool experience.
Yeah, there aren't a lot like that anymore. The attendance that night was something like 44,000, which is a pretty big crowd.
It's pretty crazy, but it was really, really fun. I got my first walk and hit out of the way, so it could have been better.
Yeah, you come up and you work a walk, get on base for the first time, does that settle the nerves any and say, okay, I know what I'm doing here?
For sure, yeah. I went from 0-2 to a bases loaded walk, so that definitely helped.
Yeah, it's got the fly out the first time up. So you come in, you put the ball in play, then, you get an RBI most unconventional way, I guess, with the walk. And then you end up tucking the one down the third baseline, right left field line, first hit. How was the release of emotion at that point?
That was the greatest feeling probably ever. Just, you know, seeing it go right down the line, like right when you hit it, you know it's a double, so... it was a pretty crazy feeling, and I'm just glad my fiance and my parents and my brother were there to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we can make many more memories like that.
Oh, yeah, plenty more to be made for sure. Well, even didn't take long to start making some more memories the very next game that you played. I hope they were still there. You get robbed by Kike Hernandez. Makes a nice play on you. You got a couple of punches. Then you come up late in the game and get your first big league homer. And not just that, but it's one that helps kind of seal the game for the Giants. So it's in a big spot. But you know off the bat that you have a good feeling and that thing was going?
I had a decent feeling. I spun it pretty good. And I knew that corner over there is just, I don't know, only like 310 feet or so. Yeah. So I had a feeling that it was going to go, but you just never know if it's going to keep curving foul or anything. So, but I had hit one earlier that game foul, and I felt like I was on the ball pretty good that game. So right when I connected with that one, I had an idea, I guess you could say. Yeah.
Well, 2022 especially in Richmond is going to probably go down as a very memorable year because of the players who played on that team. One great group, but also having some success, getting the postseason and all that. And that was your team MVP year. Like, you had such a, you know, you up and down year, like you talked about, but very memorable year for the organization, for everybody in Richmond. When you look back at your time in Richmond, whether it's beginning of last year, that 2022 season, what's some stuff that comes to mind?
Just how much it's helped me as a person, a player. Like, that was, there was a time there where that was my lowest point in my career, and there was a time there where I felt like I was on top of the world. So just like to have the fans behind my back the whole time, and like end up coming back for redemption the next year, and just like setting my career up for success that way, is just like something that I'll always remember. And you know, whether I was hitting 200 or 300 there in that league, that the fans just always felt like they had my back. So, and then all the staff, you know, you, Parney, Pelfrey, you know, everybody was just always there for me. So that's by my favorite part of Richmond, just the people.
Well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat today. I wish you all the best as you finish wrapping up spring here and going into this 2024 season. And we'll be following along from Richmond as this year goes.
Good luck to you all this year, and thanks for having me on, Trey.